Welcome to another episode of 30 Minutes in the New Testament. I am Daniel Emery Price, joined by Eric Sorensen. Eric, what's going on, bud?
You know, just kicking along, same old, planting a church, doing what I'm doing.
Uh-huh. I hear you. You know, we finished Matthew chapter 5. But that took a while. You know, honestly, it took a little longer than I thought it was, and we still just kind of scratched the surface of that thing. But we felt the need. Like, how, I don't know if we're going to spend the entirety of 2017 in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to rival. We're getting close to rivaling Chad over on 40 Minutes in the Old Testament, man. I mean, like, you know, it gets more and more difficult to not dissect every verse.
It does.
Because there's so much here. But it's all good stuff. And, you know, I don't regret the time that we're spending in this because it's so worthy of attention.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, the Lord is preaching, so shh.
That's it. That's right.
All right.
So, yeah, we're in Matthew 6 today. And Matthew 6 verses 1 through 18 are really all about the same theme, which is with a little maybe section in there about prayer, but it's really all about doing your righteousness to be seen by others. And that's the theme that you're going to pick up on real quick here as we dig into this passage. So Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you."
Yeah.
There's a lot there, Dan, and I got to tell you, to be honest, when I read a passage like that, I'm convicted because I read a passage, I'm like, well, who does that? Who does this kind of thing? Oh, it turns out I do.
Yes.
It turns out that everyone does.
I practice my righteousness on Facebook and Twitter.
So does everyone else. I mean, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. Like, I mean, now in this example of giving to the needy, this is like so obvious, right? I mean, you know, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. I mean, that's a little on the nose, don't you think? I mean, dude, I mean, you're talking about, it's like, hey, guys, I'm about to give to someone who needs it. Who's got a trumpet around here?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody blow that trumpet to make sure everyone sees what I'm giving.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not subtle, man. And it's clear that this is like, you know, I'm doing it because I want to get attention and I want people to see me as a righteous person and go, oh, I wish I could be like him.
Yeah. And I think, though, I mean, it's easy to say, like, well, I don't do that. Well, right. I don't even play the trumpet. I don't even own a trumpet. But even if you don't take it that literally and you understand, you know, what he's saying, you still might be like, I mean, I don't intentionally tell people, hey, look at this. I'm about to do this thing. But see, here's the thing. Like, what's being said, and he makes this clear as he goes on, is that really, like, again, like, sure, if you actually went to the extreme of saying, like, everyone, I want you all to say a prayer. I'm going to go give some money to that homeless guy. Just pray that, you know, he hears my word. Like, if you do, like, okay, that's, like, obviously, I mean, my eyes would be rolling so hard they'd go out the back of my, down my throat if somebody did that, right? But even if you're, like, this is a heart issue again. So, like, if you do things in order to be seen by other people, if that's in there, That's what it is. If you do good things for your neighbor in the hopes and in the desire that others see you, that's a problem. That speaks to, and like, here's the thing, man, we all do that.
Yeah, we all do it, but we figured out subtle ways to do it. So, I mean, we know how to use language that will oftentimes make it seem like we're not taking credit, but in our hearts, we definitely know we want some of that credit. We want some of that glory. And everybody's guilty of this. I mean, from pastors to politicians to everybody. I mean, everybody finds themselves struggling with this because we are, I mean, first of all, we're idolaters, and we want glory that ultimately should only belong to God. I mean, that's really the fundamental issue, right? But we want that because we want to be validated. We want people to think that we're good people, that we are righteous people. We want to be seen as a role model for people. We want to be seen as above another person. So in the case of like giving to the needy and drawing attention to ourselves, that like, look what I can do. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons, but you know, the way I find this manifesting itself in my life is it's so simple. It's like, yeah, you know, the Lord really gave me this great opportunity the other day. You know, I was driving by and I saw this homeless person, and you know, I just felt the Lord tugging on my heart to give to this person, and so you know, I was able to give some money to this person, and you know, I hope that God really blesses them, and God blesses you know, people that are generous. There's a real gift in being generous, and I can be saying that, and those words in and of themselves are not bad. But in my heart, I can be thinking, "Look at me! Look at me! Look at me! Look at me! Look at me! Praise me! Praise me! Praise me! Praise me! Mm-hmm. Admire me! Admire me! Admire me!"
Yeah, yeah. Now, I think it's interesting that he heads off this, what he's about to say, and he's gonna tail this off into prayer. He's gonna tail that off into fasting. But he when he decides, if you knew that's like, okay, Jesus is gonna talk about like giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And one of these he's going to refer to as practicing righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you think he's going to call that? Like, now the people will think, make the mistake, I think the mistake of thinking that like all of these things are under the header of practicing righteousness. Now, it might be under practicing perceived righteousness, but there's a reason that Jesus says, when like, don't practice righteousness in order to be seen by other people when you give to the needy, because we would like to equate practicing righteousness with spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting, but those come later. Now we'll do that stuff publicly and to be seen and stuff too, and because we think there's some righteousness there. But I do think that it's interesting that like practicing righteousness is tied to love and service of neighbor, good for the neighbor,
right?
When we think about like I need to become more righteous, I think our first thought is, well, I should pray more. I'll do some fasting. I'll really lock down those devotions.
Yeah.
And like, 'cause those are the good things. Those are the real good things. But,
yeah, sure.
But it's weird that those come after. It's come after in this list. Mm-hmm. I think that's on purpose because I think the primary way in which we are, being horizontally righteous is not really in those spiritual disciplines. Not that those are bad things. I mean, obviously he talks about not like, hey, if you feel like doing these things, but when you pray, when you fast, assuming that you will do that sometimes. But that most of it though, like when we talk about horizontal righteousness before men and good things, this first and foremost has to do with your neighbor.
Yep. Yep, that's and I think it's way, way, way too easy for us to make this something that we can get attention for, I mean, I can't help but think about, like, my Facebook feed on any given day is filled with videos that people made of something that something righteous that they or someone else did for someone that was in need. And, you know, there's a sense in which you kind of go like, you know, that's a good thing that you did, but why did you have to take credit for it? I mean, like, why did you have to show this video and make a viral video with your face doing this? Because the whole point of this is to say, trust that your Father's pleasure is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the final analysis, that's the reward. The reward is reflecting the goodness and graciousness of your Father who's in heaven. He's the giver. It's that's the gift.
Look, it's pretty much like, here's the thing, like, it's pretty much impossible to do these things and not seek any credit for it. Like, your heart is always gonna want some glory. It's hungry like that. Fortunately, even when the Pharisee drops the alms in the cup of the blind man, and even though he's sinning the whole time while he's doing it, even though God is, like, grossed out with his heart, hey man, the blind man still got an alms, still good for him. So the neighbor still is benefited. It's just that you got your reward. People saw you do it, and that's why he doesn't say, like, hey, if you're gonna do this, just don't do it, because hey, the blind man still needs his alms, man.
Right, and that's a really important point to note here is. Yeah, because our hearts are so often impure, we can be paralyzed by this kind of thing. We can go, well, my heart's not pure enough, and so I just shouldn't do anything. No. Like, everything that we do is probably going to have some level of impurity, even if we're not aware of it in it. If that's the case, still, like, do the good thing for your neighbor. Do the good thing, because your neighbor needs you. Your neighbor does need that all still.
Yeah.
So it's important not to make this sort of a test for whether you should ever give or whether you should ever be generous. We're always going to have wrestling motives in our heart. We should still do the good, even if we know we're not entirely pure in doing our good, or if we're completely impure in doing our good. I've often explained this, like, when I'm talking to people in pastoral meetings and things, and they ask me questions about good works. I'll say, you know, the good work, a truly good work, springs from a pure heart. It springs from a heart of a faith in the Lord, period.
Because springs from the new man. The new man is hungry to do good works.
That's right. But without credit, mm-hmm. without any glory,
mm-hmm.
All glory to God.
Problem is, you're not solely your new man.
Right. We're simul. And so there's this sense, I mean, like, you can have a Boy Scout, you can have two Boy Scouts doing the exact same thing. They both walk a little old lady across the street and help her across the street. It looks identical to us. To those looking on the outside, the work looks identical. And to the outside, in the temporal realm, it's accomplishing the exact same thing.
Lady
but it's
helped.
Possible. Yeah, the lady got help. But one may be doing it righteously, one may be doing it unrighteously.
Right. I think it's interesting too. I mean, I brought this up with the Lord's Prayer or prayer in general and fasting, but he also does say, thus, when you give to the needy, assuming that this is something that happens, there's not like, hey, look, if you feel like the Lord's leading you to give to the needy ever, if you feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to give to the needy sometime, sound no trumpet. Okay. That's not really what he says. I mean, he says, mm-hmm. when you give to the needy, don't you think there's a kind of an assumption there that, that you will I'm not saying this means that, you know, like he assumes that, like, all your money is going to the homeless, but certainly there's an assumption that, like, that sometimes you give to the needy, like this is something that does happen.
Yeah, this is a part of it. Generosity is a part of what it means to live the Christian life. It's a part of what overflows out of the new man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he moves on, verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Now, I just want to pause there and note what a hypocrite was at that time. I mean, it was literally like an actor's mask. And so it's as if Jesus is saying, like, you're a hypocrite is somebody that wears a mask that's pretending to be something that they aren't. He says, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, first question, Dan, does this mean that all public prayer is bad?
No. But I think that public is like not really like a term I love, but there's corporate prayer, which is very good. So this would take place, you know, in the church service. You have corporate prayer, right, where you're praying together because you're in the house of God. You're in the place of worship, and so you would pray. I do think that that we ought to be a little careful with certain kinds of public prayer. Now, this doesn't mean like, oh man, I'm at Panera Bread, I got my food. I was gonna be thankful for it and say a small prayer before I ate, but I guess I won't. Now, I'm not putting a law that says, nowhere it says you have to pray over your food. That's not a law. But if you want to, I think that's probably a good thing to do. It shows that you're grateful for what God has given you, to acknowledge that he's provided for you, and that's a good thing to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with you know, bowing your head and saying a prayer, a short prayer. Now, if you stood up from your table, cleared your throat, made the sign of the cross, and then in a loud voice, as if you were in church and did the equivalent of a corporate prayer right there in the Panera Bread over your food, I would say, hey, bro, too much. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, this is not what are you doing? Like, you want to do a silent prayer over your, like, with your food, or if you're with your family and you're at a restaurant and you want to pray together, like, that's fine. But like, I think that even that, like, I think that what he's saying about, you know, go into your room and like, I think that more than anything else, it doesn't mean that like, I can't, like, there's been times where I've been driving down the freeway or down the road or whatever and seen a wreck and it looks bad. And I've prayed real quick that God would be merciful and that he would preserve those involved, that kind of thing, right? Is that wrong because I'm not at home in my closet?
Sure. Yeah. No, that's fine.
No, of course not. But I think that there is, what he's saying here is that, say I am out somewhere, say I am at a restaurant with my family and we're going to pray over our food, I can still apply what's being said here. And this is like, I shouldn't make a big production or show out of this. And he'll go into like, I don't need to, and also this, like, dude, don't make it long either. Bless the food and get to eating. like keep it short, keep it discreet, be thankful, but this is not a performance that you're doing in the restaurant. I think that's really what's going on here. Is prayer had be like, we've seen these hypocrites, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's like some street preachers, man. Like, can you imagine if I just go down to this? We have a square here, and we have an event that happens every Friday night. Eric, you know, you were here one time when they did this. They do this thing. Everyone comes out. It's this big, big, huge thing where it's just, you know, tons of people occupying the square. If I decided I was going to go out there and be like, I'm going to stand right in the east corner of the square and just start praying super loudly. Pray. No, that dude. And like, here's the thing, is there would be so, like, first of all, most people would think I was a real jerk and so, but there would be some people who would like put that on Facebook and be like, look at this righteous dude. You know, it's true, man.
It is true. And I mean, this is, again, it's always the heart, man. It's always the heart, because the key words are so that they may be seen by others. Like, so that, so like, there's your motivation. Like, the motivation for doing this is because you want people to see you as more righteous than you are.
Right.
And so you're putting on a mask, you're putting on a facade. And Jesus points out, listen, I mean, prayer is between you and the Father. Mm-hmm. And if it's not you talking to your Father, then it's not prayer. Like, that's the whole thing. Prayer is communicating with your Father. And if you're doing it for others, then you're not doing it for Him. And so that's the issue. And again, it's this idea of being rewarded for what happens in secret, for what happens discreetly. Something that goes so contrary to the old man's nature. We want to draw as much attention for our goodness as we can. And the Father says, no, that's not what this is about. It's not about you.
Yeah. I mean, this is part of why he goes on to say, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Apparently, I know a lot of Gentiles, but there are a lot of Gentile pastors out there, apparently. And there's a lot of Gentiles leading Thanksgiving Day prayers as well.
Oh, man. That's when it really comes out, bro, when you're with the family.
Oh, man.
Especially as a pastor. I mean, you know, hey, a pastor, well, would you bless the food? Well, will I bless the food?
I'll bless the fire out of this food. Like, yeah.
Bless. Yeah, I'm gonna preach me a sermon.
Yeah, dude. Like, that, I've gotten to the point now, like, where, I mean, okay, this is, you know, this, as a pastor, you get asked to pray, you get asked to bless the food, like, every time you're eating food. You get, I mean, it's always like, Pastor, would you bless the food? Would you say grace? Whatever.
Say grace.
I have
a blessing.
I just roll out the Luther table prayer, bro. Like people love me. I keep that thing so short.
Do you have it memorized, Dan?
Pretty much, yeah.
You want to say it for our audience?
Oh, geez, why, dude? Why? let's see. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and these gifts you have given us, which we enjoy from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Good enough.
Good enough.
That'll get it done, man. That'll get it done. And so people love it when I'm praying over food, because that food doesn't get even 1 degree cooler.
Yeah, well, Jesus goes on to give the reason for that. And it's pretty contrary to what we might assume. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Yeah.
So, and this really can be applied to so much of our prayer life. And I think it might help to take the pressure off of your prayer life. I mean, if you're listening and you find yourself struggling with prayer, which I think every one of us has or does at some point or another, it's really helpful to remember that your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. And the eloquence of your speech in prayer is not going to get you any further, any closer to getting the thing that you're asking for. The eloquence of or the lack of eloquence of your speech is not going to drive you any further away. God knows. And so there's a sense in which, I mean, listen, we can come to him like children. This is the whole point. I mean, the whole point of prayer is to be able to say, I'm a child, I have needs, and I'm bringing them to my Father who loves to give good gifts. And yeah. So I might not have eloquence, but I know how to, I think I know how to ask for something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that there's two ways that this can happen too. I think there's sort of a flip side of all of this. The obvious first thing is that I'm going to do these things. I'm going to seek out to do these things. Give to the needy. I'm going to blow that trumpet. I want to be seen doing this. I hope where you do that thing, you're like, man, I hope somebody saw me do that. And then, you know, you have, you know, prayer where I'm going to make a big show out of it because, like, you know what? I think I'm pretty dang good at this. And I just want people to hear my eloquent long thing. Then I think there's a reverse, because that's true. There is this reverse pressure that gets put on Christians, where they think that that's what's required. You know, so like, so when the Pharisees were up there doing this junk and they're like making a show out of their giving, your initial thought is like, man, I gotta start giving. And like, I mean, look at this. And when they make these huge, lofty prayers using all these, and they want to be heard, and the Gentiles or whatever, they're all eloquent, and you think like, man, I'm not even gonna pray. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, so there is a sort of, there is a flip side to this, where when people start doing these things and think that the, you know, the better I perform these acts and it does become a performance, mm-hmm. that becomes the standard for everyone else. And they think, well, that's what righteousness looks like. That's what mm-hmm. doing this correctly is. And I can't do that. So poor little me is just not going to do anything. And mm-hmm. and that's not true. I mean, like the nice thing about this is I think that there's I think that you can read this and say like that Jesus being like, man, just, you know, hey, give to the needy. Just get, mm-hmm. just give to the needy. Help out your neighbor. Hey, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Like they ain't a lot of pressure here. There's not, you mm-hmm. can't screw up praying. Just pray, man. Like and like all these clowns out there, like making a big show out of it, and using like long prayers with all the lofty speech, and there's many, many words. Man, that's God's not sitting there just soaking that up, being like, oh, yes, that's
yeah. He's not impressed by the eloquence of human speech.
No. The God who spoke all things into existence isn't like, nice way to turn a phrase, Daniel. Like, come on, man. He's not impressed with my vocab. I think that there is like an alleviation also. While definitely cutting us up and saying like, look, we all do this to a certain degree. Or even if we can't do it, we aspire to get to the place where we could. Man, I'd love to be such a great prayer that I would have confidence to pray in public. There's that, but that does propagate this other thing where people, you know, the people would be maybe like, oh man, I hope no one asks me to pray and bless the food because like, I'm not good at that. The point is that, you know what? You don't have to practice that righteousness before men. Just help your neighbor, be thankful to God. You can pray to him just the way you are, and you don't got to worry about, you know, people seeing it. You know, there's no righteousness there. All your righteousness is socked away with Jesus where your life is hidden. Hey, there is a conference, though, coming up in October 2017, this year. You can go over to hearwestillstand.org. Me and Eric will both be there with a bunch of other people. That's still the early bird price. Now, it was the super early bird price. That time is over, but it's still the early bird price. That date that price will not last forever, so you should go over there and grab up a ticket while you still can at that price. And I don't know, it could sell out too. There's not unlimited seats, so we kind of hoping it sells out. We kind of anticipate it will. So if you want to hang out with us in October, go grab that ticket now. Figure out your travel stuff later. We'd love to see you there and come celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's gonna be a good time.
Amen and amen and amen to that.
All right. Eric, thanks for hanging out, carving out time, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Dan, and thanks, everybody, for listening.